before we start, I want to ask this question. Where is your heart tonight?
Amen.
Where is your heart tonight?
Good.
Brother Danny, this is not worth green. Bear with me. Because I probably will not stand still. Can you hear me now?
Yep.
All right. Where is your heart tonight? That's the question. Where is your heart tonight? Perhaps you started out your Christian life with the best of intentions. I'm talking about great desires. Perhaps you were determined to be faithful from the get-go. You determined that you were going to serve the Lord. From the onset of your new Christian life, you determined that you would be faithful and serve God all of your days. I mean, you had great goals, great desires, with the best of intentions. And maybe for some time you did. Maybe you were faithful. Maybe you are at this point faithful. Maybe you started with great aspirations. And then life happened. And life comes one day at a time. And with each day, there are temptations. There are struggles. And life happened, and somehow, some way, you got off track. It may not be that you have got off into great, gross, open sin. You may not be out in some wicked immorality, but somehow, some way, day by day, decision by decision, step by step, you are not where you want to be tonight. You say, preacher, you're not talking to me. Well, hold on, because I very well could be in the future. We all have a propensity, a possibility to stray. The songwriter said, we're prone to wander, prone to stray, prone to leave the God that I love. I'm glad that He'll never leave us. But you and I, as human beings, we do have the possibility within us to stray from time to time. But I've got good news for you tonight. If I have described you, if you got saved, and from the moment that you trusted Christ, you had a determination and desires that you would serve Him and that you would be faithful, but you failed, I have good news for you. Here it is. The Lord is not through with you. The Lord is not through with you. In fact, I would say this, you're in rather good company tonight. There's a man in the Bible, and I want us to look at him tonight. There's a man in the Bible who started out with these same intentions, same desires that I have described. He was determined to walk with Christ. Matter of fact, he even bragged of how that he would be faithful to Jesus Christ no matter what other people did, no matter what came his way, even if it cost him going to prison or laying down his very life. And he said, I will be faithful. His name is Simon Peter. You remember? Simon Peter, his life teaches us many things, but in the life of Simon Peter, I see this lesson being taught. That failure does not have to be final. Failure does not have to be final. We all are human beings. Listen, we're not making excuses for sin, but the possibility and even the probability at times in our life of failing lies within us. The Bible teaches us to let he that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You see, I'm not standing here tonight because I'm great. I'm standing here tonight because the good God of heaven is great.
Amen.
I'm not standing here because I am somebody. I'm standing here tonight preaching the Word of God because the God of heaven is in my life.
Right.
Are you listening to me? It's not about how good I am. It's about how good He is.
Amen.
And Peter's life teaches us that failure does not have to be final. Peter started out with great intentions, but there came a day in his life where he failed. There came a day in his life where he did not live up to his determined desires that he had even braggadociously proclaimed. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the Gospel of Luke. Turn with me. I'll just leave you a little groundwork and I'm going somewhere, okay? We're going to be like that airplane. We're coming down the runway and we're taxiing. We're going somewhere, okay? Get over to the Gospel of Luke, and I could turn over to Matthew 26 or Mark 14 or Luke 22. I want you to look with me in Luke 22. I'm not going to take the time to read every one of these passages tonight, but I want you to look with me in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 22, and we'll begin reading in verse number 54. This will be familiar to most of you as Bible students. Luke 22, 54, the Bible said, "Then took they him, led him, and brought him into the high priest's house, and Peter followed afar off." So they're taking the Lord Jesus, and Peter is following afar off. And when they had kindled a fire, remember that now, they kindled a fire in the midst of the hall, were set down together. Peter sat down among them. But a certain maid beheld him as he sat by the fire and earnestly looked upon him and said, "This man was also with him." And watch this, verse 57, "And he denied him, saying, 'Woman, I know him not.' And after a little while, another saw him and said, 'Thou art also of them.' And Peter said, 'Man, I am not.' And about the space of another hour, an hour after, another confidently affirmed, saying, 'Of a truth, this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean.'" Verse 60, "And Peter said, 'Man, I know not what thou sayest.' And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew." Verse 61 says, "The Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said unto him, 'Before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice.' And Peter went out and wept bitterly." Peter went out and wept bitterly. As we're coming down the taxi, I want you to remember this. Though Peter had the greatest of intentions, he did fail and he did deny the Lord Jesus. He started out great. He started out well, but he did, at some point in his life, fail the Lord. I would say he failed miserably. He denied the Lord three times. Now, I want you to look with me in the same chapter. I just want you to go back a few verses to chapter number 22 and verse number 31. Luke 22, verse 31. Once again, I could turn you to Matthew 26 and other passages and look at a very parallel scripture. But in Luke 22, verse 31, this is before Peter denied. This is before the cock crew. Look in verse number 31. The Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Understand, Peter was saved. He wasn't going to get re-saved, but he was going to need to be restored. Verse 33, he said unto him, "Lord, I'm ready, here it is, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death." And he said, Jesus said, "I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice," not once, not twice, but thrice, three times, "deny that thou knowest me." Not only did there come a time, this very night even, that Peter denied the Lord, but Jesus already knew it would happen. Are you listening? Jesus already knew Peter was going to fail. Matter of fact, in Mark 14, if you was to go over there, when Jesus told Simon this in Mark's gospel. Mark records that he the more vehemently said, "If I should die with thee, I will not deny thee in any wise." And likewise also said they all. So it wasn't just Peter, but these other disciples. But Peter denied the Lord. And not only that, the Lord knew aforehand that he would do so. Are you listening to me? The Lord knows your weaknesses. The Lord knows where you are. And the Lord knows where you're going. The Lord knows where you're at tonight, and He knows where you'll be next week, and He knows where your heart is.
Right.
He knows your frailty. He knows that we are dust. He knows our weakness. Jesus was not caught off guard at Peter's denial. Are you listening? Jesus was not caught off guard when three times, not once, not twice, but three times Peter denied Him. And I'll say this tonight, He'll not be caught off guard if you do the same. But, here it is. Failure does not have to be final. That's not the end of the story. Matter of fact, I want you to turn with me to the Gospel of John tonight. And I want you to turn with me to the last chapter in the Gospel of John. We have seen that Peter failed the Lord. I'm talking about the man with the greatest of intentions. Would it not be a wonderful statement for someone to say, "Lord, I'm going to be with you. I'm sticking with you. I'll be faithful. Doesn't matter if it takes me to prison. Doesn't matter if I have to lay down my life. Jesus, I'm with you, man. I'm going all the way." Would we not stand in awe and we would say, "Yes, man, I like to hear that from somebody," would we not? But in actuality, Peter did fail. Peter did deny Him. And the assuring part of that is that Jesus knew so beforehand. Jesus wasn't caught off guard. As we come to the Gospel of John in chapter number 21, once again, it's a familiar passage of Scripture. This portion of Scripture here in John 21, I begin reading in verse number 15. Jesus is going to ask Simon a question. And in verse number 15, He says, "So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord. Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. In verse 17, he saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus said unto him, Feed my sheep. Jesus asked the question in verse 15, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? I could imagine as I pondered and thought of this question is the Lord Jesus has this altercation, this confrontation with Simon Peter. If you remember throughout the Gospels, Jesus had called 12. You remember amongst those 12, there are three. We call them the inner circle. Who are they? The first one we say, Peter, James, and John. When Jesus went up on the Mount Transfiguration, it was Peter, James, and John. This very Peter, with great desires and a bold declaration, said, Jesus, I'll go with you. I'll go with you even if it costs me prison or death. Oh yeah, it's this same Peter that failed the Lord. It's this same Peter that denied Him three times. And I can imagine that as we would go through the Gospels, and we come to the crucifixion, that as the disciples, besides John, had forsook Jesus, and then later Peter denied, or at that time, right before the crucifixion, Peter denied the Lord three times. Where are you going, son? Ain't no time to leave. Hey, listen. I can imagine that as this altercation takes place, you know the context in the beginning part of chapter 21, the Lord Jesus is having a fish fry. Amen? He shows himself, verse 1 again, to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, once again, first in the list. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael, Cana of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, the two other disciples. Simon Peter said unto them, I go fishing. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth, entered in a ship. Immediately that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, had ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of the fishes. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, that's John, saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Amen. John figured out, hey, that's Jesus. Amen. Now when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him. He was naked and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far behind from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. And as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire. There's another fire. Remember the last fire Peter was at? He was denying the Lord. Here they are in another fire. They saw a fire of coals there. Fish laid thereon and bread. They were fishing for fish. They didn't catch any. Jesus said, I've got some fish over here. Amen. Jesus said, bring out the fish. Bring out the fish which you have caught. In verse number 12 or 11, Simon Peter went up, drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. For all there was so many, yet there was the net broken. Verse 12, and Jesus said unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. No, go with me in your mind. Perhaps this Peter, who had walked so close to the Lord during his earthly ministry, but now, just before the greatest event in the Gospels, the crucifixion and the resurrection, just before that, Peter denied. Peter failed. Now, as we come to John 21, I believe that Peter has seen the Lord at least twice, maybe three times. He's been in the upper room when Jesus appeared to the disciples. He's seen him. You remember the message that Peter got? You remember the message Jesus gave? He said, when he resurrected, he said, go tell my disciples and Peter. You remember? But now, there's going to come a close contact. Now there's going to come a confrontation, not necessarily a dispute, but there's going to come a meeting. Now I can imagine the questions that may be going through Peter's mind. Maybe Peter had in his mind something similar to what we at times have in our mind. We fail God. We deny. Are you listening? We do things that maybe would disappoint our God. Definitely disappoint ourselves. We disobey, we deny, we get to a place and we think, and rightfully we understand that God does have a wrathful side, but we think, oh dear, He's going to get near me. He's going to get me. You been there? You failed? You've done something wrong? You think, oh, He's going to strike me down. Perhaps Peter had thoughts in his mind. Perhaps Peter, in that room when Jesus appeared to his disciples in his resurrected form, perhaps Peter, along with the crowd, maybe he kind of shunned the one-on-one. But tonight, there's going to be, or this morning really, in this text, there's going to be a one-on-one occasion. There's going to be a meeting face to face. I want to remind you this evening, Romans 8:1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. To those that are saved, there is no condemnation. That's not a license to sin, but that is to know that when we do sin, we are not under the wrath of God. That, listen, God does not deal with His children in wrath any longer. We're no longer the children of wrath. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You see, He doesn't deal with me as a child of wrath anymore. He deals with me as a son of the blood. And I can imagine Peter maybe having some thoughts. What's he going to think? What's he going to say? I have failed Him. The Lord that I looked eye to eye and said, I'll never fail you. I'll never deny you. I'm going to be with you all the way. What's He going to say to me? He's given me the invitation. He told me to come and dine. As I come to this text, it's encouraging to me. And as I come to this text, I find the Bible's not real clear on whether Peter was fearful. But I can imagine him being like many of people that have been in church and they have loved the Lord, they have walked with God, they had the greatest intentions, but they failed God. And then you get around them and it's almost like they're scared to come back to church. You invite them to church, you say, well, I'm not where I need to be. And really what they're saying is, I don't think I'm worthy. And can I remind you tonight, none of us are worthy. None of us are worthy. We don't come here because we've got it all together. We come in here because we worship the one who does have it all together and the one that can help us. And when Peter comes to the shore and he has fish, imagine having fish for breakfast. He's having fish with Jesus. The other disciples are with them. They are dining or breakfasting, if you will. The Bible said, come and dine. And then it says, if in verse 15, when they had dined, after they were done eating, Jesus turns from the others and He begins to address Simon. Oh, Simon, by the way, hey, I hadn't forgot you. I find in this text that Jesus never forgot and He never failed Peter. You remember back in Luke 22 where Jesus said, Simon, Simon, Satan had desired that he might sift you like wheat? The next verse, but I have prayed for thee. Jesus never forgot him. Jesus never failed Him. This is a good time to interject this. I'm not holding on to Jesus. He's holding on to me. Amen. Though Peter failed, Jesus never failed Peter. But Jesus asked this question. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And there has been debate down through the years on exactly what was Jesus referring to. Perhaps he's looking at the fish. I mean, after all, Peter had gone a fishing. He was a fisherman by trade. And perhaps Jesus is looking at the fish that Peter has drugged to land. They have been eating on the other fish that Jesus already had. Perhaps Jesus is saying, Peter, you love me more than these fish? Perhaps, he said, looking over at the boat. Peter, you love me more than these boats, these opportunities and other things in life? Perhaps he's looking over at the other disciples and he says, Peter, do you love me more than you love those other disciples? Or maybe this. Maybe Jesus says, Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Remember, after all, Peter, you're the one who proclaimed you were going to stand faithful. And you're the one who said that you'd be with me all the way. And you're the one that said you'd lay down your life or go to prison if it meant. So, Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples love me? Peter, you proclaimed those things and you've denied me. After you denied me, I had proven myself through the resurrection. I've sent you a personal message through the resurrection. I have revealed myself to you. And here you are. You've gone fishing. Peter, you've had plenty of time to get right. You've seen me at the crucifixion. You've seen me raised again. You've seen me in my resurrected form. And you're still going fishing. Peter, do you love me more than these other disciples? I mean, after all, Peter, you're the one that said just going fishing and influenced the others, impacted them, and led them to go fishing. You took the other disciples with you. So my question is, Peter, do you love me more than they love me? Piercing question, is it not? And then twice more, he asked the same question. Similar. Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me. Verse 16 and 17. Remember, three times Peter denied the Lord by the fire. Now here it is. Three times the Lord Jesus asked him to declare his love. You see, Jesus did not respond to Peter's failure with condemning words, but with compassionate words. Jesus came to Peter and did not deal with him in his failure to the point to try to drive him further down, but he dealt with him and said, hey, Peter, by the way, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? You remember the church of Ephesus? You remember when they got away? Y'all remember when they messed up? They had to repent. You remember what Jesus did? Jesus didn't accuse them of gross, wicked, open sin. You know what he said? He said, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. You see, I would say to you tonight that when we get away, even backslid, no matter how far the distance, it's a love problem. And Jesus asked Peter, lovest thou me? Three times Peter denied him. I'm talking direct. Hey, I'm not him. I don't know him. I don't know what you're talking about. That's what he's basically saying. Three times. And then three times, if it had been us, we'd have said, Peter, you dummy. Peter, I told you so. Aren't you glad Jesus didn't deal with Peter like that? Aren't you glad he didn't say, Peter, I told you what you was going to do and you did it? I mean, that's the way Baptists would have treated him. I'm glad he doesn't treat me that way either. I'm glad at the times in my life when I've been prone to wander and prone to stray, I'm glad the Lord didn't say, I told you so. Hallelujah. He deals with us in love. He deals with us in compassion. And that's exactly what he did in the life of Simon Peter. Now notice this, there is a play on words in verse 15 and 16. Jesus uses the word, and he said, lovest thou me? And Jesus is using, if you were to get your Strong's Concordance out, you will find when Jesus asked the question, he's using the Greek word agapeo. Agapeo. Peter, agapeo, lovest thou me? And that agapeo love is a deep, devoted, even a divine, unconditional love. The way that Christ loved the church is agape love. He doesn't throw the church away. He doesn't condemn us.
Amen.
And Jesus says, Peter, do you love me that way? But when Peter answers him, Peter says, Lord, thou knowest that I, phileo, love you. The word phileo, we get the word Philadelphia. Phileo, it's a friendship. It is a fondness. Jesus, you know I'm fond of you. And so Jesus asked him again in verse 16 the same question. Lovest thou me, agape? Do you love me, Peter? With that devoted love, that unconditional love. Peter, you said, remember, you said you was going to go with me. Are you really? Do you love me that much? And Peter says, thou knowest that I phileo. I'm fond of you. We're friends. And so in verse number 17, the Lord Jesus uses Peter's word. If you get your Strong's Concordance out when you go home, you'll find out I'm right when I tell you this. In verse 17, Jesus turns and he says, Peter, phileo. Peter, are you fond of me? Perhaps it's as if Jesus says, Peter, I know you're feeling like you failed. Peter, I know you're ashamed at this point to declare that you're devoted completely. I know you're ashamed and you feel unworthy to say, I agapeo. So Peter, let me ask it this way. Do you phileo? Are you fond of me? Are we friends? I believe Jesus wasn't saying, Peter, I don't. He wasn't saying, I don't want you to love me in that devoted way. I believe he was saying, hey, Peter, if you're feeling unworthy to declare that deep devoted love, I'll come down here to where you are. I want to know, do you love me, Peter? Peter said it. Verse number 17. He got a little grieved. He's like, Jesus, why you keep asking me this? Thou knowest all things. And thou knowest that I love thee. Now I want you to notice this. Each time Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? No matter the word, Jesus replied with an offer. As Peter would say, yes, I love you. Yes, I'm fond of you. Jesus said, all right. The first time, feed my lambs. The second time, he said, feed my sheep. And the third time, he said, feed my sheep. In verse 15 and 17, the word for feed is the word bosco, if you look it up. And that word bosco means to feed, to pasture, to fodder, to graze. In other words, it's like a farmer would throw the feed out, lead them to pasture. Give them something to eat. But in verse 16, the word is poimeno. If you love me, Peter, feed my sheep. And this word feed, it's more than just give them food, but rather it is to tend to the sheep like a shepherd. It is to feed them and to rule over them, to lead them, and to guide them, and to superintend them. So in essence, what Jesus was saying, Peter, if you love me, show me you love me by serving them.
Amen.
If you love me, serve me by serving my people, my sheep. It's interesting in this text, you will find, as you read through there, he never refers to them as Peter's sheep. They're Jesus' sheep. But Peter is given the awesome responsibility that, Peter, if you love me, feed them. Peter went from being one who was being sifted to becoming one who was being a shepherd. Peter went from one who was, in man's eyes, used up, to in God's eyes, he was useful. Failure does not have to be final. Jesus was saying this: Peter, I know you failed me. Peter, I knew you would fail me. Peter, I told you this was going to happen. Peter, this did not take me by surprise, but here's what I want you to answer right now. Peter, where is your heart at tonight? Where is your heart tonight? It's a question we all may ask tonight. Where is my heart at tonight? You see, Peter couldn't go back and undo what he'd done. You can't go back 5 years where you failed. You can't go back 5 days where you failed. You can't go back 5 minutes where you failed. You cannot go back and change the past. But here's what you can do. You can love Him. You can love Him. And you can serve Him tonight. Where's your heart at tonight? I don't know how many people that I've dealt with down through the time I've been in the ministry the last 18 or so years. Preacher, you just don't know what I've done. Preacher, you just don't know. Preacher, would God forgive me? Preacher, would God look past what I've done in the past? And here's come to be my answer. Sir, ma'am, God's not as interested in where you were as He is in where you are. We're not sweeping sin under the rug. Sin must be dealt with. Sin must be confessed and forsaken and repented of. But to the person that has the heart that they want to be right with God and they want to serve Him, Jesus is saying, hey, if you love me, serve me. If you love me, serve me. And that is... the gist of the conversation between Jesus and Peter on the seashore. And where we ought to be tonight, you may say, I don't know if God can use me. Can I say there are two offices that you may be disqualified from for certain failures? The pastor, preacher role, and the deacon. Other than that, if you love Jesus, you can serve Him. He wants you to serve Him. Doesn't matter what you've done in your past. If you love Him, if you want to walk with Him, if you want to serve Him, He says, hey, do you love me? Do you love me? Are you listening? Too many people are beating themselves up. I messed up. I can't go on. I can't go to church. I can't be a blessing. I can't testify. Really? Let's think about Peter. Let's think about Peter. Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Peter, do you love me? Feed my sheep. Feed my lambs. Feed my sheep. Okay? A few days later, we're down to Jerusalem. Thousands. The Holy Spirit, a rushing mighty wind. Guess who stands up to preach with the 11? Guess who preaches on the day of Pentecost? 3,000 souls are saved. Oh, I believe his name was Simon Peter. The same man, not long ago, denied that he even knew the Lord. He didn't have to get saved again. No. He had to be restored. And Jesus said, when you're converted, restored, put back where you need to be. I've got something for you to do. Peter preaches on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 are saved. He's an apostle of the Lord. He goes down through the book of Acts preaching. You got two letters in your King James Bible tonight, 1 and 2 Peter, written by the man who denied the Lord Jesus just before he was crucified. Where is your heart tonight? Quit beating yourself up, throwing yourself under the rug for what you did last week, last year, and answer the question, where is your heart? God is interested in where is your heart tonight. Do you love Him? Serve Him. Do you love Him? Serve Him. Let's stand all across the auditorium. Father, take the message. Use it as only You can do. Speak to our hearts and our lives. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Altar's open, pianist's coming. She's going to begin to play that little chorus. I will serve Thee because I love Thee. You have given life to me. If you need to come, you come tonight. Maybe you're not.